This is The Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer. Powered by 6 Hour, never settled. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. I highly recommend you carry the best. The best is 6 Hour, never settled. Today I'm featuring my P220 6 Hour Compact 45. It's one of my favorite carry weapons. Highly recommended. Do what I do. Do what Sig does. Be exceptional. Do exceptional things. Never settle for the ordinary. Get a Sig. And so we are on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, also available on the America Out Loud Podcast Network. Check us out, Project Sentinel, projectsentinel.com and .net. And we are on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Rumble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so this week, our guest is Grant Stinchfield. Grant is an entrepreneur, a radio guy, currently hosts a show that I'm on with him all the time. Oh, what is that? That looks like a P365, Grant.
That's what it is. My SIG P365. You had your SIG out. I love the guys at SIG, so I just figured I would show you that.
And by the way, Tom speaks highly of you, and I'm not joking. I mean, we've talked about you. So
amazing guy. Amazing guy. Amazing company.
Yeah. No, amazing company, and I'm happy that they are one of our sponsors. By the way, we are also sponsored by Swiss America, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But Grant, I just want to mention that we're often on your show together. I love your show. And one of the things I find notable is that you only bring me on when there's really bad news.
It's not your stand-up comedy routine, Tony.
Let's call Tony in. He'll talk about anything. And no matter how bad, he'll talk about it.
Well, so, the sad part is, I mean, how bad is everything going right now? I mean, it just seems like every day it's more bad news. Everything is going wrong. And so, you know, I'm sorry that's when you have to come on, but nobody sums it up like you do, especially, Tony, you know, when it comes to foreign policy. We see what's happening in Israel and the Middle East right now and all those things. I'm just grateful, you know, you become such a friend and coming on the program. And hopefully we'll find some good news here, maybe come November 6th.
I'm always looking for the story. You need to have me on when you talk about rainbows, unicorns, and puppy dogs. So just keep me in mind when you guys do a story like that, and I'll be happy to come on.
All right. Don't hold your breath.
Well, speaking of holding breath, I want to talk about that person who is known as the ingrown and infected toenail of the Democrat Party, also known as Hillary Clinton. So you talked about her, and let's just start off with, we are in an election year, and Hillary Clinton is making the rounds, she was the nominee in 2016. She thought she had it in the bag. She and her flying monkeys were, I think, all over the place, measuring drapes in the White House and everything else. And many of those flying monkeys, just for the record, have gone on to be in Biden's White House. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is what it is. I think evil begets evil. And at this point, it's very clear that they all kind of went, you know, from Team Clinton to Team Obama. I mean, they never really left Team Obama, just saying, and then they're now on Team Biden. But she's been saying what many would consider, especially if you or I said it, election denial. Would you agree with me on that assessment?
Oh, I think, you know, the Democrats are the ones that started the whole election denial process, going all the way back to Al Gore. Yeah. Al Gore will tell you the election was stolen from him. And then, of course, Donald Trump beats Hillary Clinton. And again, she went around all over the place talking about how the election was stolen. President Trump is an illegitimate president and all these things. Now, somehow Donald Trump says it in the face of real evidence that an election was stolen.
Yeah.
And you know, Hillary Clinton forgets about her past as the queen of election denial. Tony.
And by the way, at the time of taping, my press conference, which was covered on your network, by the way, regarding the investigation I did of Jesse Morgan, the pallet of ballots guy's been making the rounds because there was this past week the hearing for Jeff Clark, they're trying to take his law license. You know, surprise, surprise, anybody who stood up and said is part of Trump's Department of Justice, there's something wrong here. Mm-hmm. Bill Barr went after him, to include Bill Barr calling me. Anyway, so my press conference where I outlined the findings, which was just for the summary, we found that credible evidence that Jesse Morgan moved a 53-foot commercial trailer, 53 feet commercial trailer, which was carrying, by our estimate, 68,000 curated ballots ready to count. And he moved it from Bethpage, New York, where we believe, and I don't want to get into detail because we could go off on that tangent. We believe, based on our own investigations, there was a warehouse there that was used to essentially have people sit down and lick envelopes and fill in all this information, put it into the trays, and then move it from Bethpage down to Lancaster. And that's where Jesse was asked, well, directed to drop it off unabandoned. And you and I both know mail is a controlled item. You don't just leave trails, big old 50-foot trails, trailers of mail just sitting out in the middle of nowhere. But that's what they told him to do. My point to all of this is it was credible. And yet it took Bill Barr calling me directly saying, you need to turn Mr. Morgan over and you need to do it by 1 o'clock and you need to get him to the FBI, which I refused to do. And, you know, obviously 10 minutes later, I was gone. But my point being is that even though last time I checked, I'm a pretty credible guy. I spent 30 years doing intelligence operations, investigations, and otherwise. And yet somehow, Grant, even though I think we had the goods, I'm considered an election denier because, you know, geez, I actually did the work. I found evidence of wrongdoing, and yet I'm the problem.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess in a similar story, do you remember when they were pulling the ballots out and the suitcases out from underneath
in
Fulton County, Georgia?
Yeah.
So I was one of the first to post that video. I was just watching a hearing online in Georgia, I believe it was. I was one of the first to post that video. And I went on Newsmax at the time and ran a story on that. And I remember saying, we don't know what's in here. I'm not saying these are stolen ballots. If somebody needs to answer the question of what's happening. And then you zoom in on the ballot counters and it appears they're counting the ballots twice. And I was clear to say, I don't know if they're counting. There may be a reason why they're doing this, but nobody's telling us. President Trump actually ran that monologue I did from Newsmax at one of his Georgia rallies.
Yeah.
And you know, to this day, Tony, I've never gotten a straight answer. They tell us, oh, that's where they put the ballots, but you never got a straight answer of what was going on.
No.
They just buried it. And I remember the story you're talking about the trailer.
Yeah.
I think we even interviewed the truck driver at one point.
You did. You did. Yeah.
And it just goes away. And so the idea of asking questions, that has become criminal in America today.
It's
about election, whether it's about COVID. You mentioned the lawyer losing is good. They're disbarring anybody associated with President Trump. And look at all the doctors that are losing their medical licenses that simply ask questions. They're not even saying they're just asking questions. It's a very sad time in this country.
So, and that's part of what I want to talk about today is the fact that you and others are trying to still do real journalism. Where, and I know people don't believe this on the left. We know it. Our job is to call balls and strikes, period. Our job is to discern fact as best we understand it and then present it for people to make a decision.
I want to disagree a little bit.
Okay, please.
Because I was a journalist for 20 years. I worked in the NBC owned and operated stations group. I got 4 Emmy Awards to my name. I use them as paperweights now. They're useless.
Yes,
I'm ashamed of my time in the mainstream media. But I was a journalist then. And I called balls and strikes and I was down the middle. The way I would push my conservative values, maybe covering stories that nobody else would cover.
Yeah.
I'm not a journalist now. I am an opinionator. Now I pride myself on dealing in fact. And I believe that when you listen to me, I'm telling you facts when they're facts. And
of course,
there are opinions when there are opinions. But I don't deal in lies. And so what's happened now, journalism has gotten so bad that because a guy like me or a guy like you don't deal in lies, they say we're great journalists. But I'm not a journalist. I am 100% biased. I 100% want Republicans to win every election. I will do everything I can to make that happen, except lie.
Yeah.
But that's what the Democrats do. And that's where these lines have been blurred.
So let's cover that, because one of the things I have a problem with are journalists parading as those with integrity and yet being partisan, because that's the biggest danger. Like what you said is very important. It's like, no, I'm on Team Trump. I'm going to do this. And look, I'm not technically a journalist either. I'm a retired intelligence guy. My job is to present information and I won't lie. I will say things that are like, you know, one of the things you and I've talked about on your show, and I've said it, it's like, Ukraine's not going to win. And it's like, oh, you're pro-Russia. It's like, no, I'm just telling you, they're not going to win. The numbers aren't there. And oh, by the way, gee, shouldn't we account for that $300 billion that we've sent them? And oh, maybe we ought to rethink why we're going to send them $61 billion. And oh, by the way, Why am I paying for their civil service? Why am I paying for the puppet theater in downtown Kyiv to keep its doors open? It's like, how is that of any interest to me? And yet we're the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that sums it up right there. When you tell the truth of what is going to happen, if it doesn't fit how they want it to happen. I mean, look, I don't want to get you in trouble. You were just on Newsmax. I still love the guys at Newsmax. I love my boss, my old boss, Chris Ruddy, gave me the chance of a lifetime. But I was on this whole Ukraine thing early. It got me fired from Newsmax.
No, look.
And that, you know, it's their right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
Trust me, if it's not the narrative they want,
no matter where it is, even at Fox News, you're out. That's one thing I love, Tony, if I can just say Real America's Voice. I don't think I've talked to the CEO in 3 months about content of my show.
Yeah.
He lets me do what I got to do. I love this about him.
Oh, look, there's Paul. Look, I'm on the Fox no fly list. I was talking to my friend Lou Dobbs yesterday, and I don't know if I told you, you probably don't know this. I was saying things on air on Fox that were really getting under Fox. And I didn't work for Fox.
Right.
So I had a handful of shows that loved me, which included Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Lou Dobbs. I was always on with Lou. And I started saying things that were apparently too close to the truth regarding some of the, you know, our sides, like, hey, these things are not right. Oh, by the way, this Russia collusion thing, it's not right. And, you know, Lou had me on all the time, and Lou and I are friends. And so I was just out there putting it out. And one day I got a call from Lou, from his producer, saying, we can't bring you on anymore. It's like, why? You're on the no-fly list. Did you know, Grant, that Fox News has a no-fly list? I did not know that until I was told
that. I do. Well, I know that for a fact that I'm clearly on it because of my association with Newsmax. Apparently, nobody that was associated with Newsmax is allowed on Fox News.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But Fox is not Fox. And one of the people I used to support over there, and I'm still dear friends with, is Catherine Herridge. So let's talk about Catherine a little bit.
Yeah.
So at the time we're taping this, she has not been at her hearing. Tomorrow, at the time of taping, let me be very clear for the audience. At the time of taping, she's going to be testifying in front of the House Government Oversight and Reform Committee on the Press Act. The Press Act is an act, a bipartisan act. It's now in the Senate, by the way, not in the House, which is interesting. And it's supposed to be designed to do three things. First, give reporters a full protection under the First Amendment to basically do the reporting accurately, not to feel pressured. Secondly, to do things necessary to protect them from having to reveal sources, which Catherine, by the way, you're going to love this, Grant. I'm not sure if you knew the details. Catherine, as we speak, has been sanctioned by an Obama judge, a judge named Christopher Cooper. Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, not related to any Coopers I know, who basically said that she had to give up her sources because of a Chinese scientist who a guy named Yangpin Chin, and apparently he's got direct connections with the Chinese military intelligence. And because she's protecting her sources, she's being fined $800 a day. Think about that. Anyway, so this is why the act would stop that from happening instantly and preserve
it. Picking up the cost of that.
So the answer is, I don't know. I didn't ask her that. That's an interesting question I will have to ask.
So I have some interesting thoughts on this.
Yeah, please.
Again, as a guy in journalism for a long time.
Yeah.
Reporters want to think somehow they're better than the everyday general citizen. Mm-hmm. Our founding fathers didn't look at reporters that way. That reporters have the same rights as any everyday citizen has. And I'll give you the example. When the police put a lineup at a crime scene, if you're an everyday citizen and you have your iPhone, you can be behind that crime scene. Just as if you're a reporter. Being a reporter doesn't give you any ability to go beyond the crime scene. You don't have a right to go beyond the crime scene. So when you start giving reporters special privileges over a citizen, you've got to be really careful about that. Because what happens when they say, all right, well, you're not a reporter, Frank so-and-so, who put it out on Instagram that you had a Chinese scientist that said they've got a bio lab, you have to give up your source. And he says, no, I do my journalism on my Instagram. Well, no, you're not covered, but the reporter at the New York Times is. You got to be really, really careful.
Yeah.
I don't want special privileges for reporters. I just want reporters to be able to tell the truth and not have government get in the way of telling that truth.
Well, that's theoretically the purpose of this, because the federal government is supposed to be the one who can't do it. Now, to that point, one of my dear friends, Steve Hatfield, Dr. Hatfield, was accused by a member of the media, a female member of the media, who apparently, I believe, by the way, was given information from the FBI. She leaked the information from a guy named Mueller. You may have heard of him, you know, kind of a corrupt guy. And apparently it was false information. The FBI made it up out of whole cloth. It was leaked to her. So she was the conduit. And my friend Steve ended up suing successfully the FBI and making something like $5 million over the fact that it was provably false, that he was not. It was about the anthrax bombing. So I get your point, because Steve, my friend Steve, was victimized by a process which allowed this special privilege to be used. I get it. So at the same time, though, Catherine, I think, is fairly trying to go out and talk about the fact that, to your point, her leadership at the direction of somebody went through all of her files. So when they fired her a few weeks ago, they held her files, and this became a battle. It's well documented. It's on the internet.
Yeah.
And what right did they have as her, you know, them to go through and
you know,
steal
it's
her
interesting
property?
Because I used to deal with the lawyers at 30 Rock every day as an investigative reporter, and I would have sources and they impressed upon me, you cannot tell your source. You can guarantee them anonymity unless you are prepared to go to jail for that. Yeah. And we as NBC are not paying you to go to jail and do all these things. So you cannot guarantee them that. You have to tell them up front. And I would tell sources this, if up front that the government comes and subpoenas my records, and I have to turn them over. So you can make the decision now whether or not you want to tell me the information or not tell me the information. Because let's face it, some stories, I may be willing to go to jail to not give up a source.
Right, right.
There are many stories I get a source, but I'm not willing to go to jail over the story. The story just might not be as important, right?
Right.
So you've got to make that distinction. And I think you've got to be upfront with sources too, because I think there's a lot of reporters out there that are not upfront with sources and also don't understand the law because reporters are not above the law. Just as the government can subpoena an everyday citizen, they can subpoena a reporter too.
Yeah. Well, another case is James Rosen. James was targeted and subpoenaed and actually almost had to give up his sources at the last minute.
And they
spied
on him, though. That's a whole nother example, right? Going into your computer without you knowing.
So let's talk about that a little bit. I want to go back to Catherine in a bit, but as we speak again at taping, the House has voted to not renew FISA. Now, I don't know how you feel about it. I think that's good because I would argue, as a guy who had access to clandestine methods of collection, Grant, we don't need FISA. We can go after the bad guys under EO 12333. People can look it up. This is a public document. There are three categories of collection that we as clandestine guys can do. That includes NSA, terrorists. If you know a terrorist, overseas, you can collect on him. And then, oh, by the way, if a U.S. citizen is talking to the terrorist, you can collect on that U.S. citizen. You don't need a special warrant to go after someone talking. So this whole thing is redundant. Secondly, if it's someone who's a foreign intelligence officer, if you're talking to, the Chinese intelligence service, and you can go collect on them, again, you can be collected on if you're talking to them. The moment you talk to a known intelligence officer, you give that up. And third, and most importantly, I think in many ways, there are instances where you have members of cartels, the Medellin and Cali cartels were two of the groups I had to go against in the 90s. They're clearly up to illegal operations and they're doing things to move drugs into the country. So you can report, you can go and collect on that. Mm-hmm. What FISA allowed is for multiple hops past that contract. Like, oh yeah, Mike Flynn and his guys were talking to a Russian. So now we can go look at the five sources, five degrees of Mike Flynn, of who he was talking. To me, that's illegal. You can't do that. And that's what FISA permitted them to do. So what do you think about that?
I was happy FISA. And so I didn't even know that because I was on a conference call before. So they voted. So the House voted to do, did not renew FISA. Is that right?
That's correct. At the time we're taping, the vote went against renewing it. As a matter of fact, it was 19 Republicans and 200 and some odd Democrats who voted against it.
Isn't it amazing that we could do a story on why that played out the way it did, right? And talk about the
swap. There's a whole story there. There's a whole story there.
I'm glad that they voted against it for the sheer fact that I think the government was abusing it.
Yes, that's my issue.
I've often said, all right, if you want a program like that, you're telling me you can't have a judge on call, that you can't march a warrant into somebody and just show it to the judge and have them sign off on it?
Exactly.
Come on. Exactly. I mean, you can do that all the time. You can come. I'm in Dallas County. I promise you, if Dallas police need a warrant right away, there's a judge they can call and go down to the Dallas County judge and get a warrant to search somebody's house.
Of course. And that was my issue because Susan Rice, in her 7 January, sometime early January of 2021, right after the election, said we did everything by the book. It's like covering her ass. And it was Kash Patel found all these instances of the unmasking. So right there's the abuse. Right there. There was no reason for Joseph Robinette Biden to be looking at who Mike Flynn was talking to during the campaign, and that's what they were doing. So this is why I'm adamantly against it, because of the abuse. And to your point, gee, do you think there's not a federal judge that could have walked in and said, yeah, you know, Mike Flynn may be up to something? A judge would have signed off on that. It's right. Just they didn't want that. They didn't want the paper trail other than, oh, yeah, an acknowledgement they opened it up. Mm-hmm. So I believe at this point, having been an insider, knowing how things are done, no good can come from giving unlimited authority to go through people's phone calls or emails to government bureaucrats. Would you agree with me on that?
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And again, it's all a Justice Department that seems to believe they're above the law.
Yeah.
Or the bounds of the Constitution. And if you're a conservative, well, then they certainly don't have to abide by the Constitution, the bounds and the law to target.
So circling back to Catherine, so tomorrow's going to be a really interesting day because the things we're talking about are going to be exposed. And the other thing, too, I'm just going to say it, and it may not be, I don't want to get you in trouble, but the deep state. Mm-hmm. The deep state, the permanent bureaucracy, and this is where I get this question. I do talks, probably like you do, I do talks like, what exactly is a deep state? The deep state is the permanent bureaucracy, which has decided that it knows more than anyone else. And the party which most gives it deference is the Democrats because, you know, the Democrats, oversight, that's just a word. So I think in many cases, in many ways, I'll just tell you, I didn't hear this from Catherine. I don't want to get Catherine in trouble because I want to come on the show still because I talked to like, you need to come on and talk about this. I think the deep state had CBS go through her stuff. I think the permanent bureaucracy wanted to know about her sources because the big issue with her was the Hunter Biden hard drive. And she was relentless. Mm-hmm. And essentially pursuing that. She, by the way, Grant, was the only member of the mainstream media to actually get that independently verified as real.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, clearly so. So she was enemy number one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 100%. And as your thoughts on the deep state, I'm a firm believer the deep state is real. In fact, when I ran for Congress in 2011, a primary against an incumbent, I would talk about what I dubbed the ruling class of career politicians or bureaucrats, the ruling class of career bureaucrats. That is the deep state. I didn't have the term the deep state in 2011, but a ruling class of career bureaucrats that think they know better than all of us, that love big government, that profit off of big government. That is the deep state. You know, I used to call the corporate media was lying to us all the time. President Trump dubbed them fake news.
Yep.
But now they have terms for things that we always knew existed.
So we'll continue this conversation in part 2 of the show. We are sponsored by Swiss America. We'll be talking about them in the break. And also 6 Hour. Grant had his C365. I've got one of my favorite carry weapons. I've always got a SIG like Grant. I've always got one close at hand, just saying. So never settle, right? So we'll be back. We're on the America Out Loud Network, and we'll be back after this short break. Today, I want to help bring you some peace of mind and some protection for you and your family and your money. Like it or not, we've been driven into a financial war zone where your hard-earned dollars are being crushed between the rising cost of living, and the increasingly cashless money system. Today, cash, which is used to represent financial freedom, is disappearing, right along with our privacy. Powerful forces are waging a growing war on cash, and you need to prepare for it before it's too late. Call now, 800-289-2646. Again, 800-289-2646 for a free report, The Secret War on Cash. And this is from Swiss America, a name we trust. Discover how taking a few simple steps now can protect your peace of mind and your family and your money. Please take action. Call the number, 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, and call for your free report, The Secret War on Cash. Peace of mind for you, your family, and your money. And tell them Tony Schaefer sent you.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And this is the Hard Truth, Tony Schaefer, part two. Still sponsored by 6-Hour, Never Settle. I had a choice of what I carried in combat. I always carried the best. You should carry the best as well. 6-Hour, Never Settle. And oh, by the way, I always give the shout out to our friend Cherie Curry. I'm wearing one of her t-shirts today. Cherie, chainsawchick.com, rubber baby buggy bumpers. And she does our theme and bumper music. Cherie, we love you big. We hope to have you back on the show soon. And also one of our big sponsors, Swiss America. Swiss America does a great job of helping people prepare for their financial future, both in education and in real assets. And we'll be talking about them in our commercial for them. Anyway, we're moving on with the show, Project Sentinel. Oh, I forgot. We are on the America Out Loud podcast network and radio network, and that's who we're talking about right now with being on with them. And Project Sentinel is who we are, projectsentinel.com.net, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and here we are again. Deja vu all over again. Grant, back with you. Grant Stitchfield is our guest today. Emmy, I forgot to mention the Emmy wins that he did. All around good egg. Someone I appreciate having adult conversations. Can I use the word adult? I think I can use that word, adult. And we're joined in the second part of the show by the effervescent and ever twinkling Chris Cordani.
Twinkling. Oh, great. I'm moving twinkling to San Francisco right now.
And the uber beyond an eclipse, a very shiny person, Elizabeth Breckenkamp, because we just had the eclipse this week, didn't we?
I'm shining. That's nice.
You are shining. You're like the light that goes around the eclipse and always comes through.
Oh, thank you.
You are welcome. So
I get
twinkling and shiny. Twinkling and shiny. It's a great crew.
Aren't you glad you're here, Grant?
So, yeah. All right, Chris, you had a video. Didn't you want to show us a video? Oh.
Yes. I was watching some press conferences today because I'm a sick man and I just like to punish myself. But here's something that I ran across that was kind of funny. As you know, on Wednesday, Joe Biden and the Japanese prime minister did a dual press conference. And when Biden goes off script, that is, you know that it leads to disaster. So let's hear from him.
Why didn't everybody holler at once?
On the issue of abortion, sir, what do you say to the people of Arizona right now who are witnessing a law going in place that dates back to the Civil War?
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century, not back then. You weren't even a state. I find. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, oh my God.
Yeah. So we're back in the 20th century. So by the way, Chris, since you were listening to the press conference, did Joe Biden promise to help the Japanese rebuild from the last Godzilla attack against Tokyo? Just ask.
and the American taxpayers will pay the full bill. That
I'm just waiting for Rodan to show up and do some more damage to Yokota or something, you know, just saying.
But it was pretty horrible. It was an embarrassment. And if I was watching beforehand, the man was actually looking in his binder to figure out who to call on as far as the press was concerned. So that was already pre-picked as well.
Wow.
Everything with this guy is either pre-planned out. The problem when you pre-plan out with him is then you're asking him to remember the plan.
Yeah.
So this is usually why it goes south very, very quickly, because all he does is just confuse himself as he's going, and then it spirals out of control, as you saw right there.
You need a nice
They're all about
nearby.
Binders. They got their notes. Corinne Jean-Pierre has her little notes. Biden has his little notes. You know, it's like, it drives you nuts. It's like, seriously, you just can't think for you. Anyway.
The joke, I actually heard somebody mention to me, and I forgot who it was, somebody prominent saying, well, Katie McInerney had notes. Yes, she did have notes, but her binder was filled with quotes from journalists and people who asked these questions of Donald Trump in the past or Barack Obama and throwing their words back at them. So that was brilliant.
And she gave them homework. I love that. That was great.
You know, I don't understand. John Kirby is a guy that I actually despise, right? I mean, I think he's a liar.
I know, John. He's the ultimate used car salesman.
Does he have any business being an admiral? There's not a chance in hell that man has a business being an admiral.
No, he was an admiral in, I think, McHale's Navy. I think he somehow got that.
But even
Rachel Levine shouldn't be an admiral either.
She's at least he talks to you. He doesn't sound like he's trying to remember the... the line. Karine Jean-Pierre is the worst press secretary in American history by far.
Wait a minute.
She's
you're not
robotic and what she tries to do. At least John Kirby, like, at least he shoots from the hip or sounds like he's shooting from the hip a little bit now and then. Joe Biden is, it's a real disservice to him to have Karine Jean-Pierre up here.
Well, at least to your point, Grant, I mean, Kirby at least says things that are semi-interesting. Remember, I think on your show, we talked about the time when he talked about, oh yeah, the worst thing was a traumatic brain injury. It's just fine. It's like,
right. What? Oh, I don't remember
Grant,
that.
You're not down with KJP? I'm surprised. There we go. We're down with KJP here. Oh, honestly, though, Kirby, you might not like him, but he does his job well. He is the mouthpiece for the White House. He knows how to, he stays calm when he's asked a tough question. He doesn't go, he doesn't look through his nose and go, well, this is a president who, and then when you fall back, well, we're building this economy from the middle out and bottom up, and the president cares about the border and everything else. Yeah. And he's a president who cares, and that's it.
I've been in John's office, the Pentagon, by the way, and it smelled like brimstone. Just saying.
It smelled like brimstone. I'm sure
you've had the close encounters with the worst kind. We talked about your close encounter with Brian Stelter. Yeah, it was Brian Stelter, Kirby, and all these guys. Millie, oh,
I know.
Man.
I'm an operative. I go out. I do.
That's one heck of a party. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Brian Stelter.
So let me do that. So Grant, I have a riddle for you. If you put John Kirby and Brian Stelter on the beach, who could swim further out to sea without drowning? A, Brian Stelter, B, John Kirby, or C, I don't know, but it's worth trying. Which
I'll go with C.
Good answer.
You're doing this for your country.
You're doing this.
Funny. Maybe I should have you on. We said at the beginning of the show that I don't bring you on for your stand-up comedy. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm making them. That's the problem.
Maybe.
Here.
Oh, there you go.
Tony's more of a sit-down comic, but that's good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's your angle.
All right, Elizabeth, did you have a question for Grant, or do you want
to? So more like a comment. So back to the Catherine Herridge. So yeah, I know they're going to start the hearing, according to what I was reading, tomorrow morning. It's supposed to start at 9:30. And I was, you know, I know you all know this, but I thought it was interesting that Cheryl Atkinson is also going to be giving her testimony. And I knew that she was at CBS, but apparently she had quit. She wasn't fired, but she quit back in 2014 because apparently she had a lot of stories she wanted to do about President Obama, and CBS killed every single one of those because they put him in a bad light. Of course, they only wanted to skew everything to make it look like how wonderful he is. So Cheryl Atkinson had quit, and so she's going to be part of the hearing. And I thought that was interesting. I love her. I love watching The Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson every Sunday morning. And I just want to see, you know, what you thought about that. And also the fact that Jim Jordan's going to be the committee chair, from what I understand. I think I read that right. I love Jim Jordan. Yeah. Jim Jordan is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a big Jim Jordan fan as well. I think Congress, in many respects, though, much to the frustration of me and so many others, moves a little too slowly. I think Comer and Jordan, in some respects, need to get off their butts a little bit quicker and start doing things a little bit faster. They're so worried about how things do or the process that is supposed to happen in Washington. Quite frankly, I don't care anymore about the process in Washington anymore.
I agree.
Get Hunter Biden in an open chamber and interview him. If Hunter Biden wants to do it in an open chamber and it's supposed to be done closed, who cares? He's going to say, I don't remember anyway. Just get him in front of the American people and let him take the fifth. So I still have frustration with them, even though I am a huge fan and Jim Jordan, I would consider a friend. He's a good guy, but just want a little more speed out of these guys.
I know what you mean. More unity among the conservatives, because look how quickly all the left got together and impeached Trump.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to impeach, well, say we, the conservatives are supposed to trying to impeach Biden for like the last 3 years. And it's like, well, we have to make sure we do everything right. It's like,
well,
why can't you be unified?
A great example is this. You got Merrick Garland, who refuses to give over the audio tapes of Joe Biden's interview.
Yeah.
So he's supposed to hand them off yesterday. They don't hand them off. Now you can hold them in contempt. They should have contempt papers already written up in preparation that he didn't do it and hold them in contempt. They go on an airplane and haul off Peter Navarro, President Trump's close confidant, leg irons for misdemeanors out of an airport. And we're pussyfooting around in Washington with the attorney general, who's literally thumbing it. He's giving the big middle finger to Congress.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. we do nothing. It's just the most frustrating situation to watch and not be able to do anything about it.
We need people who are not afraid of being dragged through the mud by the media. This is what's going to happen. If you take a stand against a leftist, a liberal, a Democrat, if you will, and you start hauling one off to giving them contempt papers or hauling one off to jail, you're going to be chastised by the media. That's how they're programmed. If you do it the opposite way, if you're against a Republican, well, it's going to be celebrated. So Democrats are not worried about things like that. They're not worried about backlash. Republicans are afraid. They know that the mainstream media is going to try to convince the moderates, the people they rely on, the 2 or 3% that decide elections, basically. But in most of these districts, they're afraid that they're going to be knocked out of office because of the way they'll be perceived. But they still have to, but their job, we're paying them to take a stand. We're not paying them to be career politicians. If it means they're in for 4 years, then fine. Okay. Somebody else will run, or they can run 2 years later on against the Democrat that beats them. What we need to do, we need people that have to, that take action and are not afraid of certain basically, if anything, menial consequences.
So Greg, last 10 minutes, I know you got to go in a few minutes here. So last 10 minutes to you, what, if you had, Trump's, you were the campaign manager for Trump. What would you do to ensure the victory in November? You got 2 minutes to go.
It's a great question. I think in many respects, President Trump needs to keep doing exactly what he's doing, and that is keep going around the country, keep holding these rallies, keep the energy up, because when he's out there with the public, there is an energy that it even filters its way through the TV screens to people that are watching. It's why Real America's Voice and One America News and Right Side Broadcasting Network can air these speeches full time and have so many people watching, because his quest to make America great again, I really do believe, is infectious. There's not much I would tell him to do differently. You know, everyone says, oh, don't tweet as much. I don't care about that anymore. I really don't. You, President Trump, go tweet whatever the heck you want to tweet.
Yeah.
You just make sure that we get to the point where we make America great again. The only way that happens is you getting in office. And I think everybody out there knows the tweets mean nothing. It's policy. Policy is everything now. But for some reason, I feel, Tony, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but he almost has a little bit of a feeling of, it's not statesmanlike, but it's more statesman than he was in 2016, but he still has the ability to throw the zingers and one-liners. Like, this morning, he talks about Lovebirds 2.0, you know, Fannie Willis and Wade. He called them Mr. and Mrs. Wade. Mr. and Mrs. Wade.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do. Just keep get out there and keep hammering away.
Well, we'll see. And I hope so. And I think he's more measured in some ways, Grant, because I think he understands a bit better on how to use the zingers, because that's a very effective thing. And the other thing he does is that he knows that whatever he says is going to be picked up and it's going to rule the cycle. Mm-hmm. So I think he's learned how to be more precise in language he wants out there. I think before,
like,
he just shot
the hip,
which is
bloodbath. Yeah, the comment he made about the bloodbath, they all took that out of context. Yeah.
Of course.
In many respects, I think President Trump knows what he's doing sometimes when he makes these comments. He knows he's going to trigger them into creating a whole nother. And what did that bloodbath trigger do? It backfired on them. The entire conversation came back to the border and just how bad it is right now.
Yes.
That's what everybody was drawing it back to.
Well, case in point, I want to give you this one. Joe Biden on Tuesday during a rally at Union Station in Washington went a little off script and said that some of the Republican politicians should be expired. And then he quickly said politically after that. But if he were a Republican, there would be clips of him just saying expired before politically. It would be thrown all over the news, especially if it was Trump who said that. And then it would be a big mess. But no, Biden gets away with these things. Obama gets away. Obama got away with saying he was in the Special Olympics because he was a garbage bowler. Okay, this is what they get away with. But if you're a Republican, they can be anything you say is going to be taken out of context.
They've got the mainstream media on their side, right. So we have to work harder. And and it's what, you know, I set out to do. I know all you guys set out to do it. And in the end, they don't have the passion, commitment that we do. I promise you that. They do not. The left, any of these Democrats out there, they do not have the passion, commitment, and love of America that we do. And that love of America, I promise you, is going to put us over the top.
And we don't have notebooks to talk from, Jay. So there we go.
Right.
So Grant, Grant Stenchfield, Grant's been my friend. It's always a pleasure and to have you for this or other things. I can't believe the time has gone so quick that we're you know, I know you got to go do other things. Thanks for being here with us. We'd like to have you back. Talk more about, you know, kind of where the election is going to roll probably, you know, towards the August, September.
Yeah, Tony, I owe you so many appearances. The amount of times you come on my show. Just say the word and I'm here for you.
Yeah, that's great. We'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks, Grant. We appreciate it.
I would love. Well, it's so great to be with you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Good. Wow.
Oh, that was Grant, so good.
What a great guy. That was a great conversation. So, all right. So let's keep rolling. So yeah, Grant's got to go do other things, but it was good.
Tony's ticks.
What?
Tony's ticks.
I think Elizabeth's right. Oh, we should do Tony's ticks.
Is it that time already? Wow.
It is.
This show's rolling like a runaway freight that was on the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
It never was. It never was.
I rode on that train. Yes. Oh, boy. We're going to get in some trouble here. All right. I have something for you. Let's see what we have. Tony's Takes, always powered by Sig Sauer, because we never settle. And that's what you do.
Never
Sig
settle.
Sig Sauer, never settle.
Never settle.
All right. Let's have some fun. I'll give you an easy one, a softball, if you will. Once again, consumer prices rise, electricity, homes, food, you know. Still, the Dems and media sycophants are trying to extol the virtues of Bidenomics. I say Biden believes it's a success, though, because that's what he wanted all along and what the globalists want, to kneecap the first world, to lower our standards so they can create that equal world order they're looking for under the World Economic Forum elite. Now, I might be a conspiracy theorist, but that's me. What's your take, Tony?
So there is a conspiracy, and it's called spam. So I don't know if you've noticed that the purchase of spam has gone up 30%. It's almost like linked to, as inflation's got up 30%, spam's got up. So my forecast, Chris, is that spam will become the currency in the new world order.
Oh, I'll take that. I have plenty of that in my, I have spam like Nancy Pelosi has ice cream.
Well, you know, I don't know if, did you know that Nancy Pelosi takes spam and puts it under her eyes to keep that youthful look? I think it's a work.
That's how that, and I always read it was toothpaste. Yeah.
I use cucumber.
Well, no, she uses toothpaste on her canker sores from all of the potted meat she eats. By the way, potted meat is a close second to spam, just saying. Not that I hate potted meat, but
what about,
I understand what about, that. Well, no. Let me cover this real quick because it's important. If you take potted meat and you mix it with some of that gravy you can buy at the store, you can turn it into a banquet, Nancy Pelosi style banquet. As a matter of fact, I think so, that's what she gives the homeless around her house, you know, just kind of,
oh, because she cares so much,
very, you know, very magnanimous.
Her banquets are bring your own hammer. Hey yo, I'll give myself a hey yo. I usually give you the hey yos, but I'll give myself that one.
Isn't
your company called today, I tell you.
That's right. There's a company called Arm & Hammer, so I guess she must own the stock in it, right?
Well, hers is Hammer and Sickle, but that's another different story.
Wow, we're on a roll today. This is great.
That's awesome.
How about Dintymore Meatball Stew? I remember that distinctly from old Boy Scout camp camping. So I loved that stuff.
Dintymore was Nancy Pelosi's headmaster at her school for wayward women who wish to be witches and don't have flying monkeys yet. It's the flying monkey school, but she did get her monkeys, by the way. Just saying.
So that's why she said, "Please, sir, can I have some more?"
Oh
my gosh!
Okay, ready. Here's another one, Tony and Elizabeth. Ready for you, for both of you. Trump wants to debate Biden, as you know. Biden's handlers don't want this, but the TV networks sure do, because they know they can make some good ratings over this one. I think it'll be hilarious, but what do you think a couple of Biden-Trump debates will look like this time, Tony?
Well, I think to be prepared for the best effect to get Democrat voters, I think Biden's going to make sure that he's only filmed in black and white, with a JFK style head, like
haircut.
A wig. Yeah, 20th century. He's going back to the 20th century.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I can imagine that if they actually put them on stage together, it would be Photoshop, but you know, they're gonna edit it, and they're gonna have Jeff Dunham behind Biden working him just like one of his puppets. You know, it's almost like Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, they could have Joy Reid go in place of Donald Trump too, because they at times have the same haircut.
That's true.
Right? Oh yeah.
Well, Angela Merkel does have the same haircut as Trump. That I never saw those two in the same room either.
Color, kind of gold.
Angela Merkel and John Fetterman have the same body. Have you noticed that?
I don't want to know.
Although he has the same haircut as Ayanna Presley, that's a different story too.
That's true.
Here's another one.
Okay. But Angela Merkel's mustache isn't as dark as John's. Just saying.
Ooh. That's a good point. All right.
It's got a wax.
Here's another one for both of you. Deputy Treasury Secretary Willie Adamo inadvertently admitted to Congress that the $6 billion the Biden administration unfroze for Iran last year in exchange for the return of some American prisoners likely went to fund violent activity. Well, thanks for telling us what we already know some years later. But Tony, what's your take?
Don't trust anybody at the Treasury Department named Willie.
There you go.
That's just, just don't. Just say no. Just say no to Willie's. You know, Say no to Willie's. Just saying.
That's not what Bill Clinton said. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's always said, hey, yo. That's one.
Oh, hey, yo.
That's a double hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Here's another one.
Elizabeth, I feel your pain.
I feel your pain.
Are you going to finish that Big Mac? Can I have that?
You can have it all.
Again, that's what Bill Clinton would want. So a different story for a different day.
He would want it all. That's right.
All right. This is hurting.
Yeah, we should have, I'm friends with two of the people he raped. We should have them on. And I think it'd be... I'm not joking. No, Paula.
No, I believe you. It's like,
Paula would be great.
We're connected with a couple of them. I think we should get one of them. Then you know what? Challenge accepted.
Oh.
All right. We're going to reach out to them.
Start talking about willies. You got to go for the big willie. Right?
All right. I have a little over 3 minutes left, and I want your take on this.
All right.
Okay. As you know, I'm a DJ, a longtime DJ, a longtime radio producer, and I have hosted talk shows before, but one of the shows I've enjoyed doing was the Revenge of the 80s show, which is now replaced by the Outhouse Lounge. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy playing Camouflage by Stan Ridgway, one of my favorite military theme songs, but I wanted to get, since both of you were in the military, I want to get your takes on your thoughts on the best military themed songs.
Oh, that's easy for me. I'll let Elizabeth go first. Elizabeth, do you have a favorite? Because I do have a favorite.
Well, even though my first thought is the theme from MASH. It's actually very sad. If you actually look up the words,
suicide is painless.
Yeah, suicide.
Maybe it is.
It's sad, but it's very touching. When I first found out what the words were, it's like, oh my gosh, it made me cry. But so it's not like a happy peppy kind of thing. It's not like McHale's Navy, but but I don't know. What's yours, Tony?
I understand though that Canada is going to make "Suicide Is Painless" its new national anthem.
That's right.
I can believe that, Trudeau.
Thanks to the new policy.
I actually have two. I am both linked to movies I love. One is I just got to say Kelly's Heroes, Burning Bridges. Burning Bridges are forevermore. Okay. The Mike Curb Orchestra and it's anyone who watches the movie, it's completely out of place, but so cool. I mean, they're literally playing this song about burning bridges as Clint Eastwood playing Lieutenant Kelly, or former Lieutenant Kelly, because it gets busted with this German intelligence officer going through a barrage of artillery. So that's always cool. And of course, one of the other songs which I just love and actually enjoy running to is the theme from Patton. You know, it's just a great theme.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
no love for Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler?
No.
No, I like that song. The Ballad of the Green Beret is a nice song. Camouflage is Mine from Stan Ridgway. It's a story of, it's almost a ghost story. It's a young Marine was caught in a barrage in Vietnam, and this hulking Marine helped them out of it and took a tree and swatted bullets away and everything. They finally escaped. And if you heard, if anybody, if you haven't, the long version is about 7+ minutes. It's a real, it's a great story, and it it's eerie at the end. So check it out.
I will. And then, well, my runner up is Thompson, the Headless Machine Gunner, which is a Warren Zevon song, which is, I love Warren, you know.
Huh,
enjoy, as he said, enjoy every sandwich. Just saying. So,
I don't know.
He did. That was his closing remarks, I believe, you know, in life. What's your last comments? Because he died early. He says, enjoy every sandwich, which is probably a good thing to do.
So. That was Bill Clinton's campaign slogan.
Enjoy that's every sandwich.
Hey, yo.
Oh, my gosh.
I can only imagine where I could go with that, and I'm not, because I would get us in so much trouble. Oh my! As George Takei was like, oh my, oh my,
oh god, so, okay,
oh my. So it's been a great and fast hour. I can't believe it's been an hour already. So be sure and check out our sponsors, Swiss America. They got great financial information and tools that will help you survive the coming apocalypse that the economy is going to go through, both with resources and information. So check them out. And of course, who can think of apocalypse without thinking of 6 hours?
that's a good one.
Get armed up. Be ready for the apocalypse. And do ready. It in style with the best weapons possible. Go with 6 hours. Anyway, Tom's really going to have my head for that one. Anyway, we're checking out. It's been a great show with my friend Grant Stinchfield. Joined us, Elizabeth Breckenkamp, Chris Cordani. We'll be back again next week with another action-packed episode, and we'll see you then.